Welcome to The Unraveler, a weekly commentary devoted to explaining the Torah, Haftarah, and other aspects of Jewish history, ideas, and thought. This podcast is made by the FJMC, the Federation of Jewish Men's Clubs. The material of these Unraveler podcasts provide a historical and somewhat different approach to help you, the listener, better understand Jewish life and thought. This week's Haftarah commentary is read by Michael Freilich of the Seaboard region of the FJMC, whose Judaic knowledge has been shared with men throughout North America. We hope you enjoy it and find it intellectually challenging. The opinions expressed in the Unraveler are those of the author and do not necessarily represent the opinions or policy of the FJMC.
Shalom, all you all. This week's Parsha is Bamidbar. It is the opening Parsha for the fourth book of the Torah. This is the 34th Torah portion we read. We read from chapter 1 through chapter 4, verse 20. The Haftarah for this Parsha is taken from Hosea, chapter 2, verses 1 through 22. In very broad brushstrokes, the Torah begins with God's instructions to Moses and Aaron to take a census. It continues to enumerate the result of the census. It then gives details in one or more of the duties of the priests. It's interesting to note the arrangement of the encampment, as suggested by the Torah, is very similar to the Egyptian arrangement of its troops in battle. Hosea shows an immense amount of detail and familiarity of the northern geography, of which constituted the kingdom of Israel, sometimes referred to as Samaria. It appears he was a native. There also seems in his work to be a reference to the Syro-Ephraimite War, which led to the capture of the kingdom by the Assyrians, approximately 734 to 732 before the Common Era. Hosea had a long ministry, beginning with the reign of Jeroboam in approximately 787 to the reign of Hosea in approximately 731 to 732. It apparently ended with the fall of Samaria, or the northern kingdom, in 722 or 721 upon its conquering of Assyrians over the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom. We tend to know little about the life or social status of Hosea. It is one of the books of the minor prophets, of which there are 12 of the Hebrew Bible. We know that he married Gomer, the daughter of Dibleam, but Gomer was very unfaithful. Apparently, Hosea knew that his wife would be unfaithful, as God says this is to him immediately in the opening statements of this book of Hosea. The marriage was arranged in order to show the prophet as a symbol of Israel's unfaithfulness to its God. Hosea's marriage dramatizes the breakdown in the relationship between God and his people Israel. Hosea's family life reflected the adulterous relationship that Israel had built with other gods, especially in the northern kingdom. The Unraveler, which we're presenting today, was originally promulgated in 2014 May by Rabbi Simon. Rabbi Simon had been the executive director of FJMC for over 30 years. Rabbi Simon wrote, "This is a prophecy directed at the northern kingdom, and depending upon when it was written, could have been read as a warning to the people in the southern, that is, Judah-Jerusalem kingdom. The term Israel refers to the northern kingdom, which was invaded by Assyria twice. The first time was in 733 before the Common Era, the second time in 722 before the Common Era, which resulted in the exile of the 10 northern tribes. Even though the language of the first chapter is the same as the second Hosea's message in chapter 2, his message in chapter 2 contradicts his earlier message. Chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 inform us that Hosea married a woman named Gomer, and she gave birth to a son. God instructed Hosea to name him Jezreel, for I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the bloody deeds at Jezreel, and put an end to the monarchy of the house of Israel. In the day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel, the house of Jehu was the last stable dynasty of Israel, from 842 to 747 BCE. Jehu was the son of Jezebel. The name Jezreel means El, God, sows, and has numerous connotations. It can mean sowing or scattering seed, which could explain what God will do to the house of Jezreel as punishment for the murder of Naboth, the assassination of his son, at the urging of Ahab and Jezreel in order to seize his property. Jezreel is also a plain in central Israel with a city on its perimeter. The story of Ahab and Jezebel is found in Kings. Love and lust play a large part in this Haftorah, and the doom predicted in the first chapter is transformed in the second chapter into a prophecy of love and of hope. Judah and the people of Israel will be reunited. It will be a marvelous occurrence. Judah will finally recognize that Baal is not their mother, and certainly not God's wife. Judah will give up the attraction it has for what Baal offers. God will disown those who continue to follow Baal, and will pursue his people as a lover who understands his people. God offers mature love. He will restore his people to positions of prosperity and commit to them eternally. Haftorah concludes with a declaration of love between God and his people, a declaration which is repeated every morning when one wraps the tefillin around their hand. It is often used during the betrothal ceremony by women who, in some traditions, are not permitted to recite the traditional words of betrothal to their future spouse. One can assume that our ancestors, living in the aftermath of the Bar Kokhba rebellion, chose to insert prophecies of hope into our liturgy. The children of Israel are on a journey in this morning's Torah reading, a journey through the wilderness, Bamidbar, in the aftermath of the Exodus, requires learning how to engage in a more sophisticated relationship. It is not one of golden calves and physical demonstration. New patterns of behavior must be learned. Is this not dissimilar from what we need to do if we wish our relationships to continue to survive? Don't couples of any age need to learn to be spouses instead of masters or mistresses? Don't couples of any age need to learn and relearn not to succumb to the gods of materialism and one-upsmanship? Thank you for your attention. Shalom, all you all.
We hope that you've enjoyed this podcast. The FJMC mission is to involve Jewish men in Jewish life. You can find more information about the organization at the FJMC's website at www.fjmc.org. Music for this podcast is Climb by Shane Ivers and is available at www.silvermansound.com.